Mr. Magica, Chapter 4, The Frog's Princess. Thomas and Pete thought for a moment, and then Thomas said, "Don't worry about it yet, Mr. Magic. Hamish Bigmore's parents are away, and he's staying with us. You've got 2 days to find the right spell before they come back and expect to find him." "2 days," repeated Mr. Magica. "In that case, there is a chance. We shall simply have to see what happens at midnight." "Midnight?" asked Jody. "My friend," said Mr. Magica, "surely you know that in fairy stories, everything returns to its proper shape when the clock strikes 12.
"Cinderella's coach," said Jody.
"Exactly," answered Mr. Magica. "But one can't be certain of it. There's only a chance. I'll stay here tonight and see what happens." And with that, class 3 went home. Thomas and Pete felt that they should have taken Hamish Bigmore home with them, even if he was a frog. After all, he was supposed to be staying with them. "But," said Pete, "it's not easy carrying frogs. He might escape and jump into a river or something, and we'd never see him again." "And a very good thing too," said Thomas.
"You can't say that," remarked Pete. "He may be only Hamish Bigmore to you and me, but to his mum and dad, he's darling little Hammy."
"Or something like that. And just think what it would be to be a mother and father to a frog. Going to the shops and the library and that sort of thing, people saying, 'Oh, Mrs. Bigmore, what a sweet little frog you're carrying in that jar.' And Hamish's mom having to say, 'Oh, Mrs. Smith, that's not just a frog, that's our son, Hamish.'" When Thomas and Pete's mom saw them at the school gates, the first thing she said was, "Where's Hamish?" And they had quite a time persuading her that Hamish wouldn't be coming home with them that afternoon, or staying with them the night, but was visiting friends, and was being perfectly well taken care of.
"Who are these friends?" she asked suspiciously. "What's their name?"
"Tadpoles," said Pete, without thinking.
"Fool," whispered Thomas, kicking him.
"We don't know their name," he told his mum, "but Mr. Magica, our new teacher, arranged it, so it must be all right."
"Oh, did he?" said their mum. "Well, he might have told me. But I suppose I shouldn't fuss." And then she took them home.
When they got back to school the next morning, Hamish Bigmore was still a frog.
"Nothing at all," said Mr. Magica gloomily. He tried to make class 3 get on with their ordinary work, but it wasn't much use. Nobody had their minds on anything but Hamish Bigmore swimming up and down in his tank. Everyone kept making suggestions to Mr. Magica. "Mr. Magic, couldn't you just get a magic wand and wave it over him?
Couldn't you say abracadabra and see if that works?
Couldn't you find another wizard and ask him what to do?"
"My friends," said Mr. Magica, "it's no use. There's nothing else to try. Last night I was here alone and I made use of every possible means I know, and I can do nothing. And as to finding another wizard, that would be very hard indeed. There are so few still working, and we don't know each other's names. It might take me years to find another one, and even then he might not have the answer." Class 3 went gloomily home that day. They had all begun to feel sorry for Hamish Bigmore. "He's staying with his friends again," Thomas and Pete told their mother. The next day was Friday. Hamish Bigmore's parents were due to come home that evening. Halfway through the morning's school, Jody suddenly put up her hand and said, "Mr. Magic?"
"Yes, Jody."
"Mr. Magic, I've got an idea. You said that things sometimes happen like they do in fairy stories. I mean, like Cinderella's coach turning back into a pumpkin."
"Yes, sometimes," said Mr. Magica, "but as you've seen with Hamish, not always."
"Well," said Jody, "there is something that I wondered about. You see, in fairy stories, people are often turned into frogs, and they always get turned back again in the end, don't they? And I've been trying to remember how." Jody paused.
"Go on," said Mr. Magica.
"Well," said Jody, "I
did remember. Frogs turn back into princes when they get kissed by a princess. Mr. Magica's eyes lit up. Goodness, he said, you're absolutely right. Why didn't I think of that? We must try it at once. Try what, Mr. Magic? Asked Pandora Green. Why, have Hamish Bigmore kissed by a princess, and then I do believe there's a very good chance he will change back. But please, Mr. Magic, said Thomas, how are you going to manage it? I mean, there's not so many princesses around these days, not as many as in fairy stories. There's some at Buckingham Palace, said Pandora. But they don't go around kissing frogs, said Thomas. You bet they don't, said Pete. You see pictures of them in the newspaper, doing all sorts of things, opening new hospitals and naming ships and that sort of thing, but not kissing frogs. Are you sure, my young friend? Said Mr. Magica gloomily. Quite sure, said Thomas. I mean, it's not the sort of thing they'd get much fun out of, is it? Frog kissing, I mean. I bet, said Pete. Just imagine, said Thomas, going to Buckingham Palace and ringing the doorbell and saying, please, have you got any princesses in today? Would they mind kissing a frog for us? They'd probably fetch the police. Oh dear, said Mr. Magica, I'm afraid you're right. Nobody spoke for a long time. Then Mr. Magica said gloomily, it seems that Hamish Bigmore will have to remain a frog. I wonder what his parents will say. Please, said Jody, I've got an idea again. It may be silly, but it might work. What I think is this. If we can't get a real princess, we might have to pretend to have one. Make a kind of play, I mean. Dress up somebody like a princess. Do you think that's silly? She looked hopefully at Mr. Magica. Not at all, said Mr. Magica. We've nothing to lose by trying it. Which is how Class 3 came to spend a good deal of the morning trying to make their room look like a royal palace in a fairy story. They found the school caretaker and persuaded him to lend them some blue curtains that were used for the play at the end of term. And Mrs. Honey, who taught the nursery class, agreed to give them a box of dressing-up clothes that the little children used. In this were several crowns and robes and other things to make you look royal. Then there was a dreadful argument about who was to play the princess. Jody said that she ought to because it had all been her idea. Pandora Green said that she should because she looked pretty. And Mr. Magica tried to settle it all, saying that Melanie should do it, as she was the only girl in the class who hadn't asked to. But Melanie, who hated the idea of kissing a frog, started to cry. So in the end, Mr. Magica said that Jody should do it. After all, the other girls could be sort of princesses too. Only Jody would play the chief one. Then they got ready. A kind of throne had been made out of Mr. Magica's chair, with one of the blue curtains draped over it. Jody wore another of the curtains as a cloak, and one of the crowns, and a lot of coloured beads from the dressing-up box, and all of the other girls stood around her. Mr. Magica turned out the classroom lights and drew the curtains. Then he said he thought they ought to have some music just to make things seem more like a fairy story. So Thomas got out his recorder and played God Save the Queen, which was the only tune he knew. They didn't seem right for the occasion, but Mr. Magic said they would have to do. Then he told Jody to start being the princess and say the sort of things the princesses might say in fairy stories. Jody thought for a moment. Then she said in a high voice, I have heard that in this kingdom there is a poor prince who has been enchanted into a frog by some wicked magician. She turned to Mr. Magica and whispered, you're not wicked really, Mr. Magic, but that's what happens in fairy stories, isn't it? Of course, said Mr. Magica. Please continue. You are doing splendidly. Jody went on. I do request that one of you shall speedily bring me this frog, for I have seen it written that should a princess of the royal blood kiss this poor frog with her own lips, he will regain his proper shape. She paused. Well, go on, somebody, she hissed. Fetch me the frog. It was Mr. Magica himself who put his hands into the tank and drew out Hamish Bigmore. So he did not see the door opening and Mr. Potter coming into the room. Ah, Mr. Magica, said Mr. Potter, I just wanted to ask you if you could look after the school dinner again today, because he stopped, staring at the extraordinary scene. Mr. Magica was kneeling on one knee in front of Jody, holding out the frog. Go on, he whispered. I can feel the magic working. Oh, frog, said Jody in her high voice. Oh, frog, I command you to turn back into a prince. And she kissed the frog. Now, really, said Mr. Potter, I'm not at all in favour of nature study being mixed up with story times, and the school curtains should not be used for this sort of thing. While as to that frog, its proper place is a pond. I'll allow tadpoles in the school, but not frogs. They jump out of tanks and get all over the place. Now, if you'll just hand that one over. Where is it? Here I am, said Hamish Bigmore. He had appeared out of nowhere, and the frog was gone. Mr. Potter sat down very suddenly in the nearest chair. I don't feel very well, he said. Ah, said Hamish Bigmore. You should try being a frog for a few days. Does you no end of good. Makes you feel really healthy, I can tell you. All that swimming about, why, I never felt better in my life. And being kissed by a princess, too. Not that my princess was a real one. He turned to Mr. Magica. You really should have taken me to Buckingham Palace, he said. I'm sure the Queen herself would have done it to oblige me. Mr. Potter got to his feet and left the room, muttering something about needing to go and see a doctor because he was imagining things. And now, said Hamish Bigmore to Class 3, I'm going to tell you all about the life and habits of the frog. Which he did, at great length. Oh dear, said Pete to Thomas. He's worse than ever. End of chapter 4.